Are you glad to be redeemed? Amen. And I'm certainly glad once and for all. Amen. Don't have to go through the test again. No studying again and doing everything all over again. Once for all, forever, God has saved us. And I'm certainly glad for that. And this morning, I want to speak on the idea of having hunger for God's Word. And, you know, when we think about our need for revival, and I believe we need revival in our churches and in our hearts and in our land. And we're going to have to do something deliberate in order to have the revival that I believe that we need. You know, when we think about our country and the United States, Canada, it is absolutely amazing how many restaurants we have. Have you ever stopped and just thought about how many restaurants there are? I got a partial list here. A&W, Arby's, Baker's Dozen Donuts, La Belle Provence, I think that must be French, Booster Juice, Burger Baron, Burger King, Captain Submarine, Carl Jr.'s, Chez Ashton, Chick-fil-A, Chicken Delight, Chipotle Mexican Grill, Cinnabon, Coffee Time, Country Style, Dairy Queen, Dixie Lee Fried Chicken, Domino's, Donut Diner, Edo Japan, Extreme Pita, Fast Eddie's, Five Guys, Friars, Greco Pizza, Harvey's, Hero Certified Burgers, Jimmy the Greek, KFC, Krispy Kreme, Le Fleur Restaurant, Little Caesars, Manchu Walk, Mary Brown's, McDonald's. I'd like to scratch that one from the list. Except for the coffee. I don't mind the coffee. Then there's Mr. Sub, Mucho Burrito, New York Fries, Orange Julius, Papa John's, Pita Pit, Pizza Hut, Popeye's Louisiana Chicken, Quiznos, Dobbins Donuts, Second Cup, Subway, Swiss Chalet, Taco Bell, Taco Del Mar, Taco Time, Thai Express, Tim Hortons, Valentine's, Wendy's, White Spot, and Yogurt Fruz, I think it's called. And that's only the big ones. We have no shortage of restaurants, and it's amazing when you drive around. A couple weeks ago, we almost ran out of gas. We had a hard time finding a gas station. But you'll never have a hard time finding something to eat. There are restaurants everywhere. Everywhere we turn, every corner. It just seems there's places to get food everywhere we go. You know, when I was first saved, and we'd go to conferences, and this church would be having a special thing, and that church would be having a special thing, and it didn't seem to matter where we went. My pastor always seemed to know where we could go get good food. How do you know where the restaurants all are? And I started believing that in order to be, you know, ordained as an independent Baptist pastor, you had to pass a restaurant test. I was convinced of that. If you went to this city, where would you go to find food? Well, you could go just about anywhere. There's food everywhere. In fact, it was at a conference here in Barrie many years ago that I was converted. And I wasn't converted to Christianity, but I was converted to Swiss Chalet. Amen. And I haven't gone back. I love Swiss Chalet. It's good. They're usually everywhere. And, you know, we have a lot of restaurants. And when you stop and think about it as well, we have a lot of grocery stores. And we were talking about lobsters yesterday. There's, you know, how many lobsters are there out there in all of the stores? Think about every grocery store that has lobsters. They got that tank with all of those lobsters, you know. How did they get there? I said, I think they hitchhiked, personally. But, you know, when we think about it, there's got to be a lot of lobsters in the world, amen? And you think about all of the bananas. Go down to Walmart. Go here in town, go down to the superstore. And they got bananas. And every store, every grocery store in North America has bananas, and they have lobsters, and they have apples, and they have food and they have chips and they have pop and they have steak and they have every. We have food and stores and we have restaurants. No shortages of restaurants that we can go to and we can eat and we can eat and we can eat. And my question is, why are there so many places for people to eat? Why are there so many places for people to get food? The reason is because we have big appetites. We love food. We crave food. We desire food. There's a demand because of our appetites. I got thinking, you know, how many times could we drive down the road? How many times could we see a place where we know, and I'm not talking about just a church. I'm talking about a church that we know we could go to and we could get fed. How many places are there in this world, in our community, in the communities around us, how many places are there that are going to feed us spiritually? You know, we as God's people, we need to desire the Word of God. We need to desire to be fed by the Word of God. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been hungry? You know, I'm going to say this. I don't think any of us here have ever been hungry. Oh, we've been hungry, you know, where our stomachs are growling and, you know, we just got to have something to eat or I'm going to die. But I mean real hunger. Where you're you know what, you can eat, you're going to eat just about anything. We're watching this movie, I think I mentioned it. It's a real life story about a runner. I mentioned it last week or the week before, I think. And he went to the war in the Second World War, and their plane crashed in the ocean, in the Pacific Ocean, and for 47 days, three of them survived the plane crash, three of the 11, and one of them died 33 days into their floating in rafts, two rafts, they had two life rafts. One of them died 33 days in, and two of them survived 47 days on a life raft. How many people here like fish? Who likes fish? You know, these guys were 47 days floating around in a life raft, and they were sitting there one day, just sitting there, whatever they do while you're stranded on a life raft, and all of a sudden a seagull came down, landed on the side of the raft. And the one guy's like really, really slowly moving his hand. He grabbed that seagull, and they had a meal. They had nothing to cook it with. And then they got the seagull, and they were able to take some of the bones and tie it to some string that they had, and they put it down, and they caught a fish. And, you know, I love fish. But I don't think I'll ever eat a fish quite like these guys did. They just took the fish and they just started eating it. And, you know, you're saying that is absolutely disgusting. Well, these guys, of course, you know, they're going, this is the best meal I've ever had. It's like they were licking their lips. They were salivating. Oh, this is so good. And they're finally getting, you know, have you ever been that hungry? Where you're willing just to grab a fish and start eating? You know, I think about diets. You know, we've probably all been on diets. And you get onto a diet, and man, your hunger goes up. Your level of hunger kind of hits a plateau, and you know you want to eat everything, but you've got to hold back and you've got to say no. And you can learn a little more about what it means to be hungry while you're on a diet. But you know, ultimately, again, we've really never experienced what real hunger is. But listen, all of us, every single one of us should have a hunger and a desire for God's Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 23, please. Job chapter 23. And you'll find it just before the Psalms. Job understood what it meant to be hungry for the Word of God. In Job chapter 23 and verse 12, Job said this, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Again, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we need to hunger for it. And we need to be thirsty and hungry spiritually. And Lord, we are never going to have revival in our hearts. We are never going to be where we need to be unless we have a hunger for the Word of God. And again, I believe Job understood how important your words were. He wanted it more than the food that was necessary to sustain his life. And so, Father, as we look into thy word today, may the Holy Spirit of God give us grace. May you be honored and glorified. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Some of the ingredients that we need in order to have revival is, first of all, we need to have a big appetite. Job here says that he was willing and more ready to give up his necessary food than you know the very words of God. He said, "I would rather have the food that I need to survive. I would rather have the Word of God than the food that I need to survive." And you know, if we've ever been to that point of starvation and hunger where we're willing to eat a live raw fish, or we're willing to eat a seagull, or we're willing to do whatever it takes in order to keep our bodies alive, Job says, listen, even if I was in that place and I had a choice of whether I would have God's Word or whether I would have the food to sustain me, he said, I would rather have the Word of God. You see, we can't survive spiritually without God's Word. You know, we can't survive physically without food. We can't survive physically without water. But we can't survive spiritually without a desire and an appetite for God's Word. And God wants us to have a big appetite. You know, when we had all of the boys at home, our grocery bill was a lot higher. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. So never mind the boys, my husband. You know, and I even remember when I was a teenager how much I used to eat, and I still cannot believe how much I used to eat, and I was as skinny as a rail. We were in Quebec, and I was working with this guy, French guy, Hugues Lavoie. And I'll never forget Hugues. He was about 100 pounds soaking wet. This guy, he was about as skinny as they came. But I have never seen a guy that could eat. The guy had worms or something. I don't know. And so one day I decided, it was lunchtime at work, and they were serving spaghetti. They had a kitchen at the place that we were working in. And so they had spaghetti, and I said, I am going to eat as much as Oog today. I'm gonna match him. So Oog comes back with his great big plate of spaghetti. So I came back with a big plate of spaghetti, and so he ate it. I ate mine. I said, that's not bad. So Oog went back, and he came back with another big plate of spaghetti. full plate. I said, okay, let's give it a try. I went back. I got another full plate of spaghetti. Sat down with him. He ate, polished off that whole thing, and I ate every bit of mine as well. You know where he went? He went up and got dessert. You know where I went? I went home sick. I did. I'm not kidding. I couldn't even begin to eat as much as this guy. And you know, when we think about young people, when we think about kids and teenagers and the amount that they can eat and the amount that I could eat when I was a teenager, we've got to ask ourselves, why do teenagers eat so much? Now, I want to say this before I give the answer, and I think maybe some of you might know the answer. I don't think it ever stops, but it's not the kind of progress we want to make. The reason why young people eat so much is because they're growing. They're growing. And say, well, you know, I'm 55 and I'm still growing. Amen. But not the way we want to be growing. But kids are growing and they're growing and growing. And, you know, these sometimes like 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids are eating. And you say, man, I remember my mom used to say to me, well, you got a hollow leg? I said, actually, I got two of them. And the amount of food we can consume. And we consume food in order to grow. And we eat and we desire food because we are growing. And listen, folks, if in our Christian life we want to grow, we have to have an appetite and we have to feed on God's Word. The more you are growing, listen to this, it's like a catch-22. The more you're growing, the more you're going to have an appetite for God's Word. Now, one of the things that they say is, well, starve a fever and feed a cold. And I don't have any choice. I'll say that first of all. I don't have a choice to do that because when I have a cold, that's all I want to do is eat. My appetite goes through the roof when I have a cold. And it seems like I can't get full. So I got to beware when I've got a cold. When I get a fever, I don't want to eat. But they say an appetite, a healthy appetite, is a good sign of what? Health, right? It's a good sign of health. If you have an appetite, it means you're healthy. So when we desire the Word of God, when we have a healthy appetite for God's Word, that means we're healthy. It means everything's okay. You know, when we're saying, you know what, I just don't feel like feeding on God's Word today. I don't have an appetite for God's Word. Usually that means there's a sickness. Usually it means there's a problem. Usually it means that you haven't been working enough or exercising your spiritual life. Because when you exercise, you build an appetite as well. So spiritual growth will give you an appetite, but so will exercising spiritually as well. And these things will increase your appetite, and your appetite for God's Word will also increase your health. So it all kind of works out. They all feed off of each other to increase our appetite and to increase our spiritual walk and to increase our relationship with God as we get closer to Him. And you know, I'm going to ask right now, I'm going to ask, how is your appetite for God's Word? Would you say, you know what, Pastor, I don't have any appetite at all. I don't really desire to ever read God's Word. If that's your case, you've got a problem. There's something wrong. Mom and Dad, if your little child doesn't want to eat, you know there's something wrong. Either they've been into the cookie jar, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, or they're sick. When we know our kids aren't eating, we know there's something wrong. And if we don't have an appetite for God's Word, there's something wrong spiritually. Something needs to be put in check. Maybe you're saying, well, you know, I've got a bit of an appetite. I read a little bit. I get into God's Word a bit, but not the way I should. Well, that's good that you've got some appetite. But listen, there's some things that you can do to increase your appetite Start getting busy for the Lord. Start doing more for the Lord. If you want an appetite, do some work. Amen? Do some work. If you've worked hard, you know, you've been laboring all day, you've been working and sweating and toiling and busy, and you know, your appetite, you know as well as I do, your appetite at supper time is going to be increased. And you're going to want to eat more, and you're going to want to drink more, and you're going to desire to take in more. And if you will start to get busy for God, you start saying, listen, I'm going to do more for God, you're going to be increasing your appetite. And God wants that appetite to be growing. God wants our desire for His Word to be paramount in our life. So that we, like Job, can say, you know what? I would rather have His Word than anything else in this world. You know, we've got a lot of stuff today. We've got a lot of things today to distract us from God's Word. And when we think about our growth, we can fill our stomachs with the cookie jar. I mentioned, you know, the child that maybe got into the cookie jar, or maybe got into the donuts, or got into something they ought not to. We have in North America, we have more than an abundance of food. People, this particular survey was done in 1991, but in 1991 there were 11 million people that year that died of starvation. 11 million people died because they didn't have enough food. Could you ever, or has there ever been a time in your life? And I know maybe especially when you're younger, like I said, you thought you were going to starve to death. But honestly, has there ever been a time in your life when you actually thought you might starve to death? Probably, I guarantee you, none of us in this room ever thought we were going to starve to death. That thought doesn't even cross our mind. 11 million people in 1991 starved to death. In North America, there are about 40 million people that are obese. There are more North Americans. Well, in 1980, North Americans spent just over, listen to these numbers, $52 billion eating out. I mentioned all those restaurants. We got restaurants everywhere. $52 billion North Americans spent in 1980. In 1990, 10 years later, it went from $52 billion to $236 billion. Almost five times more money spent by 1990. How much money did North Americans give for overseas food aid? In 1980, it was $1.4 billion. And in 1990, it was a whopping $1.6 billion. Not much of an increase. The average calories consumed daily in North America is about 35,000. Sorry, that would not be good. 3,500. 3,500 in North America. In Africa, it's about 2,100. People who are continually hungry, 20% of Ethiopians, 20% of people that live in Sudan, Mozambique has the highest of about 30 to 40% of the people in Mozambique are in a continual state of being hungry. And listen, folks, we need to learn that we need to be in a continual state of hunger for God's Word. We can fill ourselves up with all of the things of this world and all of the things of, you know, the world wants to give us junk food. Amen? It wants to give us all kinds of junk food. But we need to make sure that our hunger is being satisfied with God's Word. God wants us to live for Him and have that healthy, strong appetite for God's Word. We have more than an abundance and more than we need in North America. We also have to have that healthy appetite. Not only a large appetite, we've got to have a healthy appetite. In Psalms chapter 119, verses 140, the Bible says, "Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it." Purity. God's word, the Bible says, is pure. There's no preservatives. There's no cholesterol. There's no artificial colors or flavors. You know, when something, you go down to the supermarket or something is being advertised, pure maple syrup. Amen. I like pure maple syrup. Or you go to the freezer section and you're looking for pure juice, and then you got to be careful because it'll say made from 100% pure juice, but not only 100% pure juice. So you got to find the right stuff. People desire pure food. People desire pure juice. People desire pure maple syrup. And everywhere we go, we find something, anything, pure gold, pure silver, pure brilliant. That's an old Scottish saying, pure dead brilliant. You know, we have a world that's craving purity. And yet, the Bible says that it is pure, it's untainted. It's preserved for us, and it's good for us, it's healthy. And the psalmist says here, because of the fact that it's pure, I love it. I love it. And we were at a wedding last weekend, and I've been to weddings. They've had some pretty, I don't want to say lame, but I think useless would be a better word. You know, the wedding favor that they leave at your table. You go, that's real nice, but I don't need more fruitcake, you know, or I don't need more of these. And we got to the wedding and got to our seats and for supper, and there in front of everyone's plate was a bottle of maple syrup. And I thought, amen, that's something I can use, amen. And I was glad. And my heart rejoiced. And I asked everyone at our table, do you want yours? Because if you don't, I'll take it. You really don't want that. You don't. No. Just clutter your it'll clutter your cupboards or your fridge. I'll take it. I'll put it. I'll take it away from you. Nobody wanted to give it up. Nobody wanted to give up their syrup. Everybody saw that I was after it, and they stuffed it in their purses and pockets and everything else. Why did I want it? Because it was pure maple syrup. And it was good. And that desire to have it. You know, this book, the Word of God is perfect. It's not junk food. It's not unhealthy. It's not unsatisfying. It's perfect. And it's pure in satisfying our spiritual needs. And by the way, folks, it's all we need. We don't need a guru or to do yoga. Or to do anything else, we have the Word of God. Amen. It is sufficient to satisfy the hunger that we have for God's Word. And we need to have a healthy appetite. You know, there is a lot of junk we can feed on out there. There's a lot of junk. There's a lot of false teachers. There's a lot of false spirituality in the world today. Mark Twain said this. He said, "Be careful about reading health books. You just might die of a misprint." And there's no shortages of diet books out there on how to eat right. Well, if you want to eat right spiritually and feed properly spiritually, it's got to come from the Word of God. Amen. And we've got to learn to stay out of the we got to learn to stay out of the junk in the pantry. It's not going to do us any good. and feed on the right stuff. Amen. And by the way, I think we could feed on the old-fashioned King James Bible. Amen. That's the pure Word of God. Many years ago, well, I'm going to say a few things first. People have a lot of very different ideas about Christianity. You know, you hear, oh, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, sorry, so is everything else in life. Don't give me that. But, you know, you guys aren't allowed to have any fun. And, you know, you got to walk around in robes and sandals and, you know, chanting and humming and all these different things. And, you know, you're just not allowed. It's like the kids, you know. You have your kids and you put a perimeter around them, right? And you put a fence around them and you say, listen, you know, you're only 8 years old. You're not taking the keys and driving with your friends downtown, okay? Not quite yet. And then they're 12 and they want the key and you're still saying, no, you're not ready for that yet. You know, you're not. And the kids say, well, Dad, you don't love me. You know, if you love me, you'd let me go and do something. You'd let me go and do this, or we put protection and boundaries and hedges and fences around our children for protection. Amen. Because we love them, and you know there are certain things that God has told us that we shouldn't feed on because they're going to destroy us. And God isn't up there in heaven going, you know what? I'm just wringing my hands today. Because I want to figure out some way to make my children more miserable. Amen? Or oh my. God isn't up there right now thinking about how He can make your life miserable. The Bible says that there's a commandment with promise. And that commandment with promise is to obey and honor your parents in the Lord. And if you do that, and you follow the godly counsel, and you follow your parents in the Lord and serve the Lord, you're going to live a longer life. And here's the idea, the commandment of your parents. That's the idea of, again, you know what? Hey, Junior, it's really not a good idea to go play street hockey on the 400. I guarantee you're going to live longer. Amen? You know what? Hey, don't smoke those cigarettes. And don't even go vaping. I guess people are dying of that now, and you're looking at banning it. Don't go doing this, and don't do that. And God puts restrictions, and parents put restrictions, and it's all for the purpose of health and for well-being. And I'm glad for those things. You know, there's been a lot of surveys over the years. I'm thankful for surveys sometimes because surveys are, for the most part, they're pretty accurate and they usually tell a pretty interesting story. And they did a survey and they looked at the overall health of people who go to church. And then they did a survey on the overall health of people who didn't go to church. And they found that the people that go to church live longer and healthier and happier. Now, we can say, well, you know, I think there's reasons for that. Because we don't drink and we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't run with those that do. Amen? And God, like I said, isn't out to make our lives miserable. He's out to make our lives better. And there's a whole lot of things in this world that's going to destroy our lives. And so, if we feed on healthy things, if we feed on the Word of God, we are going to be healthier spiritually. We're going to be healthier in our Christian life. And that is going to bleed over into our physical life and into our health overall. And God says we can live a better life. We can simply live a better life if we feed on the right food. And if we have a healthy appetite for God's Word. And you know, we also have to have a growing appetite as well. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And there we see a little bit of what we've already been talking about, the growing, amen? Growing. Babies, there's a lot of weird ideas out there about why babies cry, but I know one thing. When all our babies were born, they cried for one reason. They wanted food. And for the most part, babies are going to cry because they want food. They can't come to you and say, "Hey, Mom, you know, I'm hungry. Hey, Mom, when are we going to eat? Hey, Mom, what's for supper?" Babies cry when they're hungry. And babies are hungry because they're growing. And so here, he takes that and he tells us exactly that same principle. And he says, as newborn babes, big appetites, desire, have a healthy appetite for the Word of God, that we can grow, in order to grow. You know, our appetite for God should be growing as well. You know, we think of a child, a newborn baby, and a newborn baby certainly eats, and they eat often. I think every couple hours they eat. They don't have that big a stomach. But, you know, I hope by the time that baby is 10 years old, it's eating more than it did when it was newborn. Amen? You hope it's going to eat more. And hopefully it's not still on the milk. You're kind of hoping it's gone to the meat and the potatoes. Amen? And some good old-fashioned roast beef and some steak and some other things. And that appetite is growing and it's growing and it's growing. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul had some words for the church at Corinth. And he said, listen, you guys aren't newborn babies anymore. You guys aren't little infants in a pram or a bassinet or a crib or whatever. They got these pretty fancy swings now. You know, you're not there anymore. He said, you're grown adults. And Paul said this to them. He said, you're grown adults, you should be eating meat, you should be, you know, moving along, you know. Have you ever seen, you know, a child doing something that you're just looking at them going, okay, you're a little old for that, you know, that's for babies, or whatever it may be. And I'm not going to tell that story. If you want to ask me later, there's just something wrong. And so Paul's looking at this church, and he says, you know what? You're 12 years old, and he says, you're still in diapers, and you've still got a soother, and you're sucking your thumb, and you're doing all these. And he said, listen, something is wrong with your spiritual life here. You're 12 and you're still drinking milk. And he says, you should be over here and you should be eating the steak and eating the meat and your appetite should have grown. You should be doing more. You should be getting better. But you're stunted. Your growth is stunted. And you know, that's the idea of our appetites growing for the Lord. The more we're saved, we're saved, the more we should have an appetite for God's Word. And the more meat we should be able to consume. And you know, the theological things we should have a better understanding of. Do you remember when you were first saved, if you're a first-generation Christian, you went to church and you heard words like rapture, and you heard words like, you know, millennium, and you heard words like Trinity and all these words, and you're going, I have no idea about any of those things. And then you heard about, you know, the deity of Christ, and you heard about this, and you heard about the church, and you know, you still think the church is, you know, the building, and you had some different ideas, but you're kind of growing, and now you've been in church for a long time, and you could write a 10-page essay on what the rapture is, and you could write a 10-page thing on the Trinity or whatever it may be, because now you're into the meat and you're growing and you know the Word of God and you know what it's like to have that relationship with God. And you know, the problem is we have a lot of Christians in churches today that are still on the milk. And they're there because their appetite has never grown. Their appetite's never grown. They've just stayed a babe in Christ, and they've never moved from that place because they've never been in God's Word. You say, well, Pastor, I hear preaching 4 times a week, and my wife preaches at me the rest of the week, and you know, I hear preaching all week long, and yeah, I don't need to read God's Word. Yes, you do. And you should have an appetite and you should have a desire to read His Word. Because if you don't, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something going on. There's an illness. Or you've been filling up on the wrong things. So we need to have a growing appetite. We need to have an appetite that is increasing. And as I mentioned, when we think about proper diets, during the 14th century, Renald III was a duke in what is now Belgium. As a result of a violent quarrel, Renald's younger brother Edward successfully revolted against him. And when Edward captured Renald, he built a room around him featuring windows and doors and promised him that the day he left the room, his title and property would be returned to him. I want you to understand that. He built a room that had windows and doors, not locked, put his brother in there and said, you can leave anytime you want, and when you do, I will give you back all of your land, all of your title, everything will be given back to you. The problem with this arrangement was that Renald was grossly overweight and he couldn't fit through the opening in the room, and Renald needed to lose weight before he could leave the room, and Edward knew that his older brother could not control his appetite, and he sent him delicious food every single day. And as you can imagine, Renald grew fatter and fatter during this time. Anytime someone accused Duke Edward of treating Renald cruelly, he said, my brother is not a prisoner. He can leave anytime he wishes. Renald stayed in that room for 10 years and wasn't released until after Edward died in battle. But then his health was so ruined, he died within a year. He was simply a prisoner of his own appetite. Just as Renald was enslaved by his appetite, sin will enslave all of those who yield to it. When our spiritual life is unhealthy, we are going to have no power. We're going to have no freedom to serve. And we, by our own lack of appetite for God's Word, the healthy, pure Word of God, we shut ourselves in, we limit ourselves, and we are held at bay by our own sin. What are we feeding ourselves with? What are we feeding ourselves with? Teens have a healthy appetite, as I mentioned, because they're growing. We can be growing, but not the way we ought to be growing, because we're eating the wrong things. You know, David Livingston, the great doctor who left his practice in Scotland to go to Africa to map it out so that missionaries could go there and preach the gospel. Dr. Livingston was an intelligent man, and he enjoyed reading. And so when he left and started his trek through Africa, he brought with him 73 books that filled 3 packs that weighed a total of 180 pounds. And as they got a little ways into their journey, it became evident that the books were too much for those that were carrying them. And so he had to discard some of them. And as they got further and further and further along in their journey, they had to continually discard some of these books. They were just too much to bring along. Until he finally got down to one book. Out of all of the books that he brought with him, he ended up with the Bible. You know, I wonder if we were to take 53 different things in our life and we were just to discard them one at a time, get rid of my laptop, get rid of these books, get rid of that book, and we could only have one possession, would that possession be the Word of God? That's where Job understood that. I would rather have the Word of God than the food that is necessary to sustain my life. Could you imagine floating on a raft for 47 days and say, if I only could have one thing, I would want God's Word? How much of an appetite do you have for God's Word? You need to build that appetite. You need to increase that appetite. And you're going to do that, first of all, by getting into His Word. And then you're going to get that appetite by exercising what God has already shown you you need to do. Grow your appetite for God's Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. Lord, we thank You for Thy Word. And I pray that it would be the most precious of our possessions. That if we were to give up anything and everything but one thing, that it would be Thy Word. Father, I pray if there's someone here today that maybe has no appetite for the Word of God, I pray that they would examine their hearts to find out where the problem is. Maybe salvation is needed. Maybe somewhere along the line, you've just allowed your old nature to take control. There is something wrong. And I believe each one of us here desires to be healthy. And so, Lord, I pray that You would work in the hearts of each of us today. No matter where our appetite is, that we would desire it to grow, we would desire it to increase, and we would love Thy Word as Job loved Thy Word. So blessed as we have this invitation, if the Holy Spirit has worked in hearts, would You come? And let's stand together as we sing.